For that, Jack. Let's all stand together briefly, if you are able, as we read the scripture in Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. As you're finding your place, we'll start at verse number 1. Of course, we're having a little mini-series here about Christmas, and so we'll continue that today. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Put this over here. And verse number 1. Many of the verses in the Bible we're familiar with about certain things, particularly Christmas and so forth, but there's still a lot of truths that we can get from them that maybe we gloss over or we don't think about. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." By the way, many people, the Bible is just a bunch of stories. There was prophecy. Even in those days, Herod knew, go to the right guys. They knew the Messiah was coming. And he's like, hey, where was this going to be born? And the scriptures told where he was going to be born. They could figure it out. Verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He was being very crafty for a reason. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I might come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us to be encouraged this morning because of what we hear and to be challenged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we've mentioned before, most all people love and celebrate Christmas in the holiday time of year. You know, many of you, you go to parties and so forth. Our all of our Sunday school classes, of course, we have Christmas parties and so forth. We actually had ours on we had ours on Friday night, and it was great. This year we did something different. I think my wife and my girls like, hey, let's have a Christmas sweater party, and everybody will wear Christmas sweaters, and the lame ones, and so they got me one, and I'm like, you're sure everybody's gonna do this, right? Everybody's gonna wear Christmas sweaters. Yeah, we had a million people at our house, and two of us had Christmas sweaters on. My man Luke back there and myself. By the way, what was bad is I had this ugly Christmas sweater on, then I had to run some errands, and I'm going to the store, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm dressed like a that's not good. So, yeah, it was not good. By the way, we're going to do that next year, and we're going to say if you don't wear a Christmas sweater, you have to wait for the people with the sweaters on until they're done eating twice. Once they're done eating twice, then you can come. But I felt like a total idiot. And my wife said, yeah, well, you should be used to that by now. But you have parties and so forth. We like the festivity. We like what it's all about and so forth. It's starting, though, in our society to become a targeted holiday. It's very rare you'll go somewhere and someone at a store will wish you Merry Christmas because they don't want to offend people, which is ridiculous. We have winter festivals. Really, the whole thing is we're just trying to take Christ out of Christmas. That's all that's going on. Our society doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus anymore. By the way, you can believe anything else, ridiculous as it is, and it's okay, but Jesus is not okay. We've wiped him out of our school system. We've wiped him out of every celebration this time of year, but not us. We're going to be okay. By the way, it's funny. We kick him out of our school system. We kick him out of our government, and then we wonder why bad things happen. Why did God let that happen? Because he's not there. You gave him the boot, and then you wonder why he's not helping you out, helping us out. Well, that was free. We do all this in the name of tolerance. We've totally changed what tolerance is. Tolerance means you, and understand this, I'm not, I want you to get, tolerance mean doesn't mean that you have a right not to hear what others believe or see what others believe. That's life. It happens. It's everywhere. Tolerance is you have a right to believe as you please. We have a right to believe as we please, and that's tolerance. Okay? I don't hate somebody because they don't believe in Christ like I believe in Christ, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be quiet and not talk about Christ. It doesn't mean I have to keep my mouth shut when I'm around you. Okay? That's not tolerance. That's ignorance. And that's a message for another day. Last Sunday, we started our little series. We talked about keeping Christmas right, understanding the sacrifice that was involved in the salvation and the spirit that people have. This Sunday morning, we're going to look at the visit of the wise men. And the verses that we read, they came to find the king that was born. These wise men from the east saw a star in the sky and recognized through knowledge from God that that's where they need to go. That's where the king is. And they follow this star. They get into town and they see King Herod, and they ask about where the king is. Herod hears about him, and Herod finds out where he's at. And King Herod says, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Go find him. By the way, Herod, history tells us, was a very cruel and wicked ruler of Judea. Very cruel and wicked. You see, the reason Herod wanted to know where he was is because Herod wanted to kill him. And you see later on that what he does, he kills all the children under 2 years of age, all the males, just to kind of be safe. But Jesus is kept safe. Of course, how can you kill God in the flesh if he's not willing to die? And so Herod is very evil. As soon as the wise men leave, the star appears again. This time, the star doesn't lead them to a spot. This time, the star moves and takes them very specifically to where Jesus is at. Not to blow the Christmas story here, but Jesus at this time is not, they didn't get to the manger in time, just to let you know that. Okay, this is probably Jesus. Herod killed him under the age of 2 years, so he was probably home at this time, and he's a little bit older. He's still a baby, still young, but it's not at his. They're not in the manger scene with him, except right here they are, and they're not really supposed to be. In fact, let's fix this next week. I want to give a table, and those guys will be over on their own table. All right, But we understand the principle. He's still a young child. It still has to do with Christmas. And I have the message for today, so let's just leave it as it is, all right? After seeing Christ, it's very interesting. Herod said, now when you find him, come back and tell me, because I want to go worship him also. Well, you know, God's involved in this thing. And as soon as they find him, God says, hey, don't go back that way. You don't need to go talk to him. He's got his own issues. You just go back where you came from. And God has them trace out another day. What I want to do is just briefly look at this story this morning. From this story, we see how this event here, the birth of Christ, affected these wise men. And it ought to affect us too. By the way, how many wise men were there, Brother Chim? Really? Are you sure about that? It's up to me. Actually, not to blow the thing, because right now we have three guys that will soon have their own table, okay? There's we don't know how many there were. Doesn't say. Now, I think three is a good estimate, because there were three gifts, and it kind of makes sense to me that if you're coming to see this king, that you would bring a gift. And so, so let's say there are three, because there's three right here, all right? But the wise men, how did it affect them? And how should it affect us? Let's look at the story, and let's find some elements here. Some things that ought to affect us at Christmas when we think about the Lord Christ. First of all, I want you to notice that these men sought him. Sought him. It says, they came, these three men from the east, and saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They were looking for him. They were actively. By the way, this wasn't some trip. They didn't call Uber and get a ride, and they were there in an hour. Okay? It took a little bit of effort for them to get there. This was ancient time. But they were actively seeking this king. By the way, we will only find Jesus in our life if we are actively seeking for him. This time of year, you know what most people are seeking for? You're seeking for that perfect gift for that person, aren't you? You know, if you're married, it's like, what can I give my wife? Now, fortunately for me, my wife does not like jewelry. She just doesn't. She's not a jewelry person. I used to buy her jewelry, and like, you know, I'll buy that one little, you know, to me, I don't know. I'm not, I don't wear that kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, it looks like that would be romantic or show my love. And it's like, how come it's in the jewelry box? You never wear it. And she's like, just to be real honest with you, I'm not a real jewelry person. And I'm like, yes, save a lot of money there. Okay. But, you know, you're looking for that perfect gift. You're seeking it. We think about what will convey to them that we love them and that we were thinking about them. Could be some jewelry. For some people, it's that technology gift. Maybe it's that hot gift this year that everybody's looking for, but we're all looking for it. By the way, I wish we put that much effort into seeking the Lord. I did hear this. I think it's funny. Maybe it's not. I'll throw it at you. There was all these blondes that lived together. If you're blonde, we love you, and this isn't you, because the blondes in our church aren't like this, Brother Pineda. They are? Okay. By the way, we have a lot of blondes in this church that don't have blonde hair. Okay. By the way, you know, they are, what do you say? They are gullible. You know what gullible is? By the way, did you know, blondes, that the word gullible isn't even in the dictionary? Okay, you're proving my point if you believe that. All right. These blondes go to buy a Christmas tree. And so they decide they're going to do the one where they go to the Christmas tree farm and they cut down their own Christmas tree. And so they're looking, and they look for about an hour, Brother Chim. And finally one of them gets tired and says, enough is enough. We're taking the next Christmas tree, whether it's decorated or not. All right, I threw it at you. If you didn't laugh, that's because you are blonde. But we seek. By the way, many people seek all kinds of things in their life. They, you know, when we seek, it's something we put effort into. It's something we put energy into. It's something we will go out of our way to get. And yet, most of us don't bring that kind of passion into our relationship with God. God wants us to find him. He is there for us. Psalm 27:4, I like this verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. If you read the verses after that he gets close to him. You say, you know, I'm here this morning, I don't feel that close to God. I'm going to tell you why you don't feel that close to God. Because you don't want to be. If I don't feel close to my wife, you know why I don't feel close to my wife? Because I'm not seeking to be close to her. It's just a matter of effort. You say, man, I just wish I had that better relationship with God. You can. You can. But we have to seek him. We have to go after him. We have to find him. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I've said it over and over and over. You are as close to God. You have the kind of Christian life that you have decided to have. We need to get out of this thing where we blame other people about everything. And if this happens, it's because I was raised a certain way, or this happened to me, or that happened to me. Hey, why don't we lay whatever bad thing happened to us aside, and why don't we just take personal responsibility, and why don't we just say, I'm here because now I'm here because I'm choosing to be here, but I'm choosing not to be here anymore. Why don't we just seek after God? Why don't we get closer to him? James is still true. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You say, I'm trying to draw nigh to God, but I just don't feel close to him. Then you're not drawing close correctly, or you're not being truthful. Because God says if we make an effort to get close to him, he makes more of an effort to be close to us. But we have to make that first step. Let's seek the Lord. A shame to have a Christmas time and not be close to the Lord. So I want you to see they saw it. I want you to see, number two, that they worshiped. They worshiped. Verse 2, and are come to worship him. In verse 11, it says it again. When they found him, they said they worshiped him. What does worship mean? We think worship is some kind of weird thing where we sit in a dark room and we meditate on whatever, or we just sit there quietly. That's not worship. In our new generation of Christianity, we have exchanged singing, and we call it worship. I love singing. I love the songs of God. That's not worship. Especially when it's some kind of garbage music that you can't understand and the musicians are not anywhere near what God would want them to be. That's a message for another day. It's not worship. Now, by the way, singing and music can cause me to worship. You know what worship is? It's ascribing worth to God. It's telling God, you're important in my life. These guys were showing that he was important to them. Their actions said that they were worshiping him. Do we really worship God? We're so irreverent with God nowadays. Yeah, people flippantly say, I got a good relationship with the old man upstairs. Number one, he's not the old man upstairs. The old man upstairs is some guy that probably drinks too much. Okay, he is God. We ought to treat him with a little bit of respect. Listen, and this is probably leaked out in my course of time behind the pulpit. I'm not a big Obama guy. I'm not. But, you know, if I saw him publicly, I would not be rude to him. He is the president. Now, I'm not going to say, hey, you're the greatest thing that ever happened. It's like, he's not. I'm not trying to go political here. There's you meet somebody sometimes that they have a position, you treat them with respect for the position. And yet, why is it Christianity we want to drag God down to our level? I don't get that. If anybody ought to be revered and respected, shouldn't it be the Lord? Shouldn't it be the Lord? What's important to you? Well, you know, I know what you say, and I know you read the Bible and all that stuff, but I just have my own little thing going on with him. No, you don't. Not if it's followed by, not if it's not following what this book says. Let's not just say that God is important in our lives. Let's make sure that he is. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other God before me. You say, but I don't worship another God. I don't worship some false god somewhere like they did in the Bible. I don't understand these people in the Bible. They worship Baal and Ashtaroth and Dagon and all these pagan gods. And I would never do that. I know. I know. But you worship your football team. My team's on television today. I can't make it to church. All hail Tom Brady. Sorry about that. My son-in-law loves the Patriots, and I still like him. Because he gave me a grandchild, but other than that, we're not there. You know. That's why I want to like teams that are bad, because it'll never interfere with my life. No. Some people, they literally, that is their God. And it could be something, whatever it is. What is God? A God is anything you put before the real God. It doesn't have to be some statue, it doesn't have to be some false deity. Could be anything. I think God deserves. He is worthy. I like the verse in Revelation. Thou, verse 4 and verse 11, the scene in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He is worthy. Most of the things that we make important in our life are not worthy to have that position in our life. Some of us, we make a lifestyle our God. This is how I want to live. And by the way, what we're doing in our society now, we're taking certain sins or certain actions and we're trying to make them fit into the Bible, and we take those actions and we put them over and above what God says. Then that's your God. That's your God. We get confused sometimes. We read the story about the rich young ruler that came to Christ, and he said, I want to get, what do I got to do to eternal life? And he says, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. We don't have to do that to become a Christian, but that was his God. So he said, that's the thing that's more important to me. Are you really willing to worship me over that? Puts his finger on it. What's important to you today? You know, think about it. What is Christmas? In essence, isn't it a birthday party for Christ? How would you like it if they had a surprise party for you, Brother Chim? I'm going to have a surprise party one time for Brother Chim at my house. And so we'll find some false pretense to get him there. Everybody will be there. We'll be having a good time. And Brother Chim's going to come into the party, and we won't even sing for him. He comes in, you know, surprise party, usually like, surprise, yeah, happy birthday, and all that garbage. We're not going to do that. Brother Chim's going to show up, and we're all going to talk, and we're going to ignore him. And you know what we're going to do at Brother Chim's special party at my house? We're going to all give gifts to each other. But he ain't get one. How would you feel, Brother Chim? Well, that's what you deserve, though. Just kidding. You know what? I would be tempted if I were him to jump on the table and say, hey, isn't this my birthday party? We pass out the cake, and it's like, we didn't have enough for you. No candles. By the way, some of you, if you put all the candles on your birthday cake, your smoke alarm would go off. Okay, that means you're getting a little bit too old. He'd feel horrible. Do you know how many of us, hey, this is Jesus' birthday. We don't do anything. We don't mention him. Nothing. He's off to the side. Jesus should have the preeminence. I want you to notice these men also, they followed. How did they find Christ? That star that they saw in the sky that they followed and got to Jerusalem, that star now showed back up, and it literally moved, and they just followed it. And as they followed it, it took them right to where Jesus was following. You know, there's a phrase that I kind of don't like in Christianity, and I want to do it, but I just don't like the way it's defined. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. I'm all for it. But in our society, the way we use it, very little of it's actually happening. Fact of the matter is, we ought to follow Christ. Let us follow. When you follow someone, you go where he goes. Right? Isn't that following? I'm following Christ. He goes that way, and we take a left. Now, we might try to get back on the path later, but shouldn't we follow him? By the way, he's left us a worthy example. And let me say this. Our goal in life as Christians are to be conformed to Christ and to be and to follow his example. And I'm just going to tell you right now, none of us are ever perfectly going to do that. So don't get down. So, man, I tried to follow Christ, and I was on the path, and I tripped, and I stumbled. It's okay, brother. Get up, and let's just go back forward. I know if you get off the path, you're going to be even farther away. But we ought to follow him, and this is where he wants us to go, and this is what he wants me to be, and he deserves that from us. That's why I'm glad that we have a God that became flesh, you know, and we know how he lived. Because he is now our example of how we are supposed to live. The babe in the manger grew up and became a man, and he lived on this earth as a man. And he left us an example to follow. Let's follow that example. We have a tendency to want to change his example. We don't want to take what he did and follow it, so we want to change him, as I mentioned earlier, and bring him down to our level. It makes it easier for us. I've mentioned many times, but a phrase I heard, I think a man, Stephen Lawson, said it. You know, God created man in his image, and what we have done, we've flipped it now. We've created a God in our image. Some CCM, a contemporary Christian, said, you know, well, what I think Jesus would party with me. No, he wouldn't. That's borderline blasphemous. No, I'm sorry. That was compromised. It is blasphemous. You know, put Jesus on our level. By the way, I don't want to worship a God who's on my level. Man, I'm glad I have a God that's not on my level. And he says, here's where I am, and I deserve the respect. Follow me. I'll bring you to a better place. Trust me, if I want to follow someone on my level, there's a lot of them around here. Let's follow him. Number four, I like that. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. And when they saw the star, and we mentioned this a little last week, they rejoiced. I like this. With exceeding great joy. Didn't sound to me like they were just skating by. And by the way, I know life's not a big party. Some of you singles think that's what you want life to be. Party, 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 party. Ain't a big party. Be responsible, fulfill responsibilities, and grow up and be an adult. But you know what? That doesn't mean life can't be exciting. Doesn't mean that we can't have exceeding great joy. But that joy is found in Jesus Christ. See, I just don't experience joy in my life, and I struggle with that. And I know we probably all do sometimes. But let me just tell you this. Whenever we struggle with that, that's because we're struggling in our relationship with him. Let's stay on it. I love the book of Philippians. Paul wrote that while he was in prison, some chamber in mud and garbage and filth, and yet he talked about rejoicing the Lord always. We can have that kind of joy. By the way, he didn't have the circumstances, and neither do we sometimes. You know, you only get one life on this earth. Let's live it for God, and let's experience the joy that he has for us. Listen, don't just have Christmas joy during Christmas. Okay, everything's great, everything's wonderful, and then, you know, our Christmas tree is done, out and aside, and it's going to be recycled or whatever they want to do with it. We shouldn't have done this, Brother Penny, this is bad. When we were teenagers one time, we decided that we would help get rid of the Christmas trees. And you know how they get dry? They light up pretty fast, Brother Chim. So, by the way, I think this was Pastor's idea. Pastor Esposito, God, we weren't the best kids in the block. And so we had an apartment. We lived in an apartment here, and then there was a house here, and then there was a store here, and between the house and the store was an empty dirt field. So we got this brilliant idea to go grab some of these Christmas trees, and we were going to light one on fire, Brother Robert, and we put it right in the middle there. And then we got this idea before we lit it. He said, if one can burn better, two can burn even better. I think by the time we were done, we had like 10 of them. Now, we were dumb. But I'm not saying do this. This was dumb. We lit that thing up, and it was like, you've got to be kidding. That thing was out of control. Now, fortunately, it was in a dirt field. There was nothing. But the flames were so high, all we heard is, we took off. I ran home, and I ran upstairs to our apartment, and we all took off, like, get out of here. And I ramped up, I slammed the door, and I stood there, and my mom looked at me and said, what are you doing? And by the way, as Providence would have it, we had a big window in the living room that oversaw the field. And I'm sitting there breathing, and she's like, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. And then all of a sudden, and then the flames caught up, and like the light of the fire came into our room. And my mom looked out the window. She looked at me and said, you had something to do with that. I said, no, Mom, it was those Esposito guys. Okay? It's always nice to, they were older than me. I could blame it on them, right? They were downstairs blaming it on me, though. Listen. I don't know what that had to do with joy, but joy's good. By the way, don't ever do that. That's seriously dangerous. Are you with me? Don't do that. Especially, you'll go to jail for a long time. I had nothing to do. I'm telling you, don't do that. But joy. If someone measured the joy of Christianity based on your life, can I ask you a question? Where would they put it? I mentioned many years. I worked at a trucking company, Bowman Transportation. And there was a guy, he wasn't a bad guy, but he was just always real sour, you know, never smiled, just real sour. And all the guys like, man, stay away from him. He's got a bad attitude. He's always sour and all that nonsense. And so I got promoted. I was working up in the office, and I walked into the office one day. It was just me and him, and he was going to witness to me. He said, I want to talk to you about something. He started talking to me about Mormonism. Now, I had a discussion. I said, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to be a Mormon. But I walked away. I thought, man, if I was judging Mormonism's joy by this guy, I would run. He was just not a happy guy. I wonder if people see that about Christianity in us. Let's not just be happy because we get presents and we get to make our children happy and we eat way too much. Why don't we be happy because we're seeking the Lord and we're following him? You can have that joy. Not just joy, exceeding great joy. By the way, these guys were excited. They had a long, hard, arduous journey. They had to be tired. It had to be hard on them. They had to be sore. And yet when they saw Christ, man, they had the joy of God. I also want you to notice that, number five, they gave. They gave. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Now, we associate gifts with Christmas. All of us, to those we really love, we give to them. Okay? I'm sure my wife wouldn't be happy if I didn't get her something. Because she isn't every year when I don't. Just kidding. You know, I love you, but I feel like getting you something. You cannot love without giving. You can give without loving. God bless you, Steve. You can love, but you cannot give. You cannot love without giving. And I'm not just talking about you know, finances or any of those things. It's all of it. To live for the Lord, I'm kind of giving my life to him, saying, you know, Lord, I'm not only entrusting you for my salvation, but I'm going to entrust you for my path on this earth. Because I believe that you're right and your word is right. So I'm gonna give my life to you. By the way, that's an easy give. It's easy to give when you're getting something back. Every time we give to God, we get something back. I give my life to him. You know what I get? I get purpose. I get joy. I get fulfillment. Man, I get it all. That's a no-lose situation. These men gave him gifts. Have you ever given? Their gifts, by the way, were personal. It was from their treasures. And it was sacrificial. By the way, God gave us the gift first. And the last thing is this, I want you to notice. And this one's more, this point's more pictured than reality, so bear with me. Don't slam me on this. Verse 12, they were being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and they departed into their own country another way. This is more pictured than really straight out in the verse, but it's good. After they met Christ, they didn't go home the same way. They went a different direction, a better direction, because by the way, if they went back to Herod, it would have been filled with danger. Herod was not a guy you want to mess with. You know, when I come to Christ and I understand the babe in Bethlehem, my life can be changed. Amen. By the way, the world likes change. You know, like it's like Ebenezer Scrooge. I like the part where he gets saved. He doesn't really get saved, but you know what I'm talking about. Christmas changed me. And now the guy that was a lousy, miserable wretch is now all happy. Okay, why? Because of Christmas. But my favorite one, very scriptural, is the Grinch. The cartoon one. I mean, he totally got saved, Brother Pineda. He even had the strength of God. We like change. And really, when you come to know Jesus Christ, you now have the opportunity to change. Say, is it because of Christmas? Yes, take the mouse off and you have it, Christ. Change. You don't have to be the same. See, so many of us, and I have in my life as well as you have, there's certain things we struggle with sometimes. Maybe when we got saved, there's certain things we struggle with. Maybe you're a newer Christian, you're newer here, and there's things in your life you struggle with that you know aren't right, and you don't want that a part of your life, and you'd like to change. Can I just tell you something? Christ can help you to change. When you come to Christ and you give yourself to Him, He makes us a new person. And by the way, just like Ebenezer Scrooge, He makes us a better person. Better person. So let's make sure that we change. His power can change us. What does Christmas mean to you? I hope it means that it's not just some day on the calendar, but it's a person who is an active part of your life, who you are actively looking after, who you are actively following, and He's doing something in your life. If not, you're missing it. Christmas isn't something we should celebrate. Christmas is something we should live. Because for me to live is Christ. Let's stand together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.